Welcome to Wake Up and Pay Attention, the podcast fueling positive change from the inside out. I'm Mark Robertson, your host. With over 25 years as a professional coach, I'm thrilled to explore the personal growth tools that have helped me and hundreds of people just like you design and awaken to their best life. If you've ever felt overwhelmed and unfulfilled, like you're just going through the motions day after day, maybe you're afraid one day all the balls are going to drop, you're in the right place. Together, let's expand our self-awareness and make sustainable shifts that improve our communication skills, relationships, and overall well-being. This is a judgment-free zone where openness, understanding, and support rule. So grab your headphones and get ready. It's time to wake up and pay attention. Greetings, Wake Up and Pay Attention listeners. I'm excited about this episode. It's episode 9. Hard to believe that we're that far along. It's just launched on March 1st, so just almost 2 months ago, and we're already at episode 9. Greetings from my home office recording studio here at my desk from Midtown Lofts in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a really sunny, beautiful day here in Nashville. It's noontime on a Wednesday, and I've come from a yoga class this morning, so I'm feeling great. Got the body shaken up. Remember, we've been talking about language and emotion and body and how they're connected. And so having an hour of yoga really affects the thinking and the speaking as well as the emotional state. So you may be picking that up already. But I'm delighted to be coming to you with this next episode. The way I want to start today is actually I heard something this morning. I listened to the podcast Smartless, which I love it. It's really funny with Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes. And they had an episode called Three Presidents. But anyway, the important piece was a former president, Barack Obama. And regardless of what your political affiliation is, I want that not to get in the way. But former president uttered this morning in the conversation, there's a difference between facts and opinions. And I was like, yes, he's talking about assessments and assertions, which is what we've been talking about at episode 7. What we've been talking about at episode 8, and really the point of it's so important that we keep those different. What we've talked about before, that collapsing those can cause a lot of suffering for us and for others because it's generative, it creates. So I just wanted to get things started today with that idea. So where are we headed today? Today we're going to be, I think, blending a couple of pieces together. One that we've talked about before, and another one that we've mentioned, but we're going to go deeper looking at it today. So what are those? One is, remember, conversations and the relationship dance. So I want to look specifically at the communication or the conversations we have in relationships and what happens when we get what we call triggered. Or another way to think of it is, if you're a little older, is when your buttons get pushed. I think we've all had that experience. So the second part is taking a deeper look at that thing we call our buttons or our triggers and what's really going on there that causes them. Because my hope is that as you listen to this episode and we dig deeper into that and really understand what's going on, that you may realize that in some instances or a lot of instances when you're triggered and the way you respond, you're actually giving away your power or who you blame for that. You're actually giving away your power. And to, once again, have these distinctions will make you see things differently and take more powerful actions. And in a way, what I would say is you won't be at the mercy so much of others if you find that you're often getting triggered or getting your buttons pushed. Let's start with a few recap ideas about that whole idea of conversations and the relationship dance. So remember, first thing, conversations start, maintain, deepen, or erode our relationships. They are the lever by which we create healthy, effective relationships, and also the lever, conversations, by which we have the power to change any relationship dance that we don't like right now in our life. But there's a particular way to go at that. So what do we mean by the relationship dance? Remember, that's the patterned, ingrained ways that we get set in over time as a relationship builds over time. It's the patterned ways we respond to one another, we speak to one another, we judge one another, we react to one another. So remember, that's what we're calling the relationship dance. And my claim is that an important part of that is to understand that there's your part of the dance And then the other person has their part of the dance. They're blending together. And you can only, in air quotes, control your part of the dance. That's all you have the power to do. Remember, you can't change anybody else. So focus your attention on your part. If you're evaluating a dance that isn't working, go, what's my part? And then try to understand, what do I suspect or assess may be their part, knowing that likely it's not to be the truth, but your view of things, okay? Remember, that's the relationship dance. So we're going to look at your part like we always do in the podcast, where you can leverage change. And specifically today, when we talk about getting triggered or our buttons getting pushed, I really want to look at historically maybe who we've been blaming for that. I think our tendency is often to blame the other person for pushing our buttons. And I actually don't think that's accurate. And I think maybe even more so, if we want to get to a place where our buttons aren't getting pushed or getting triggered, we need to look at what's happening inside of us. And so to do that, we're going to need to dissect just the basic human conversations, in my opinion. If you think about human conversations, the simplistic way to think about it is there's a speaking side and a listening side in every conversation. And we're going to look more powerfully at what's going on the listening side, because I think that's where some clues for change are. I'll start with this distinction or this idea. In every human conversation between two people, there are actually three conversations that are happening. There's the public conversation that's taking place between you and the other person. It's what you're saying out loud and then what they say out loud. That's called the public conversation. And then there are the other two conversations, the private conversation you're having with yourself and the private conversation they're having with themselves. And guess which one is often, or which ones are often more powerful? You're probably already saying to yourself, the private conversations. Those are often the ones, especially in this area when we're looking at triggers and getting our buttons pushed. But I think in general, our private conversations are often influencing our results much more than the public one, even though it is also important. So let's dissect further then what's going on the listening side of our conversation. And as an executive coach for a number of years, remember I told you leaders get paid to have effective conversations, and those are always building their relationships. And so I've often come to this assessment that often when we have conversational breakdowns with people, it's the listening side, actually, that's the problematic area more than the speaking side. But I think most of the time we pay more attention to the speaking side, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, what words I'm going to use. And often the listening side is neglected. So let me make this claim, because I think this is foundational. Listening and hearing are not the same thing. I think it's really important to distinguish those two different words. They are not the same thing. Hearing is biological. It's when I speak and you're over there, the sound waves travel through the air and they hit your eardrum and it vibrates. And I don't know exactly biologically what's going on. Cochlea does something, but essentially hearing is biological. As long as there's no noise where you can't hear, hearing is just sound waves hitting your eardrum. Listening is entirely different. It's hearing plus the interpretation you put on top of it. That's the key word I want you to think about when I'm talking about listening, is it's active interpretation that's put on top of what you're listening. And why do human beings do that? Because I think on some level, we always want to make meaning, or try to make meaning, of what the speaker is saying. Now, today, I'm not going to go into the different ways in which we listen and then say that my favorite is what I call listening to understand. We'll explore that in a later episode. All I want to do is have you understand the basic concept of every time you're listening or anybody else is listening, it's always how you're interpreting what the other person is saying. And so we can make this claim now. So what's listened or how someone is listened is a function of the listener, not the speaker, not what's being said. So if we look a little deeper, why do human beings interpret the way they do? We come right back to the three-circle model, right? Our beliefs that we've created from our past experiences shape a filter for how we interpret. Our emotion or mood at the current time heavily influences how we interpret what's being said. and our body posture, the way we sit, stand, heavily influences the way that we're listening or interpreting. And I think that makes sense. So what else would I say about that? There's another catchy saying we have. I say what I say, and you listen what you listen, and sometimes they're not connected. So let me give you an example of this. And this is a sort of a classic, and I hope I don't offend the women listeners that are here, but it's one I think about is like, let's imagine that you've dated someone or you're married, and you're getting dressed for an event, and she looks over at you and she says, "How do I look in this?" And you say, "You look fine." And she responds with, "You think I'm fat?" Or, "You said I look fat." And it's, "No, I didn't say that at all. I literally said you look fine. It's what you listened that is really important that had you get triggered." Or another example might be that you're in a conversation with someone and someone gets triggered by it. And then these words come out of their mouth at that time or later. "Well, you said this." And you say, "No, I didn't say that." "Yes, you did." And it's like, "No, what I actually said were these words. How you listened it was that." And so you can begin to notice this. You must be responsible for your listening. It's not the speaker's fault you listened the way you listened. The way you listen is a function of the observer you are, your particular way of being, which, as we've been talking about, is shaped by all your history, your background, your experiences, emotions, mood, all of that stuff. In addition to your current assessments about the speaker, that heavily influences. If you've got negative assessments about them, you're going to listen or interpret differently than if you've got really positive assessments about them. But again, the main phenomena I want to say is that we've got to start being more responsible for our listening and understanding how that happens. And so I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying that the speaker doesn't have some responsibility for what they're saying, the tone, the actual word choice. They absolutely do. But in a way, what I'm saying is once it's out of their mouth, and that's their part's done, and it comes over and it lands on you, and what happens for you if you're triggered or you're not triggered or how you're interpreting, that's a function of you. You can't blame them for that reaction. And so that's what I mean. It's really powerful to begin to take responsibility for how you're interpreting things. And then as we're trying to make meaning is like start to share or check out your interpretation with someone, especially when we get triggered. But often when we get triggered, what happens is we're knocked into a very different emotional state, which pushes us to respond by saying or doing something differently than we would have done if we had not gotten triggered. Hope that makes sense. So then let's go a little deeper and let's start looking at this thing I'm calling your buttons, and your buttons getting pushed, or what we call our triggers. What's really going on? And the example that I like to use here is something that I learned through Education for Living, our stage one workshop. And the coach that was my mentor used to do this little exercise. He would start with this question: can your body be hurt? And all the participants that were in the room, and usually we had participants in a U shape, and he'd ask people, can your body be hurt? And of course, everyone would say, yeah, absolutely, your body could be hurt. Like I could hit you with something and you could see the welt come up or the bruise. And so I think everybody knows, can your body be hurt? Sure. Then he would ask this: can your feelings be hurt? And that always generated some really interesting answers. Several people would always say, yes, absolutely, my feelings can be hurt. Some people were like, I'm not sure. Some people like would say something like, only if I let them. And so we would then do an experiment with folks. And so what we would do is ask them permission to be, if we could be tacky with them. And so usually people were like, yeah, sure. Like, get ready, embrace for it. And then we would go from person to person and start essentially sharing a negative assessment about them in the hopes of getting them triggered. And so we would tell them up front, I'm going to say something to you. And what I want you to do is tell me, did this trigger you or did it bother you? Did you feel your body jump? That's what we're looking for. And so we obviously had a high level of trust at this point, and they were willing to follow our lead, not knowing what was going to happen. So often my mentor would start with this phrase, I think you're fat. I think you're fat. And then they said, did that trigger you? And a number of people would be like, yeah, that triggered me. And then he'd move on to the next person and say, I think you're fat. And they'd be like, no, that doesn't bother me. Then he might say something like, I think you're lazy. No, that doesn't bother me. I think you're irresponsible. Oof, that one stung me a little bit. Then go to the next person. I think you're fat. And they might go, I am fat. And then go to the next person. I think you're fat. So he often would lead off with that one just to see how people responded to that one. And some people get defensive. I know I am, and you are too, or something like that, right? But we were really looking at what's going on as people are getting triggered. And we honestly were trying to trigger people with a negative assessment for the sake of what I'm about to tell you so that we could empower them. So then we would stop and say, what are you noticing after doing that with about 8 or 10 or 12 people? And usually people would start pointing at it, but really here's the underlying phenomena that happens when your button's pushed or you're getting triggered. You already have a private personal assessment or private personal belief about yourself, or you suspect it about yourself, and it's often a negative assessment that you also are holding to be the truth. And all I'm doing as the speaker is inviting you to take a look at it. If the belief isn't already there, you won't get triggered. But what was going on for people was the belief was already sitting there, and my words just invite you to look at it, and boom, you get triggered and your button gets pushed. Because look, we would utter the same phrase, I think you're fat, to a bunch of different people. Some got triggered, some didn't. It's like, what's happening? Why? Because their own self-view was already sitting there, and then I was pushing on it, so to speak, right? And so if you don't already have the belief about yourself, it doesn't bother you. You aren't triggered. Think about this. If I have the power to trigger you anytime I want, it makes you what? It makes you my puppet. And we, you know, in our close relationships, our intimate relationships, if they're not going well, often that's exactly what we do with the other person. We purposely trigger them out of our anger or our resentment so we can pull their strings, and vice versa. And so now you can begin to see what our buttons really are. It's about us, the listener, the person getting triggered. It's not so much about the person that's triggering us. So one of the things we also taught around this, why is this going on? Because human beings, we would say, are biologically closed systems. So what does that mean? Let me give you an example. You can do it with me right now. We used to do this activity. My coach would walk up and say, can I see your hand? And he would press on someone's hand, and then he would say, who did that? And the person would say, you did. And he'd say, no, actually, you did. What are you talking about? So do it right now with me. What I'd invite you to do is take your left hand and reach over with your left thumb and press on the back of your right hand, somewhere on the back of your right hand. And notice what happens. As you lift your thumb, guess what happens? Your skin turns white. It's actually called blanching. And what's happening there is the blood is rushing away from your skin. It doesn't stay long, but it's, ooh, my skin's turning white. And then we say, okay, who did that? You say, my left hand, my left thumb. Nope. Like your left thumb actually perturbed your right hand, but the whiteness, the causing of that was actually the structure of your system. It's what your right hand does when it's perturbed is it blanches, it becomes white. So actually, your right hand, your skin did that. Remember, I say what I say, you listen what you listen, and they may not be connected, okay? Because think about this. Let's take yourself. If you say, my left thumb caused that, let's look. Does your left thumb, every time it touches something, does it turn it white? No, it doesn't have the power to turn things white. Look, right now, push on something else. Push on your phone. Does it turn it white? No. Push on your desk. Does it turn it white? No. Most likely, I don't know what your desk looks like, but you know what I'm saying? Your left thumb does not have the power to make things turn white. What happened was a function of our system, the way we're structured, and we blanch and things turn white. So we got to start taking responsibility for what happens to us. That's the triggering, and it's about your structure, your system, okay? And so that's really the phenomena we wanted people to see, kind of stepping back, was like, what are your current existing negative beliefs about you that are your buttons that often you're holding like they are the truth about you? And remember, we said assessments like I'm fat, irresponsible, lazy are never true. We've got to keep them separate. But where are you already holding that and collapsing it, and you get triggered or your button gets pushed because someone out there says the very thing and triggers you, or something close to it, and you're listening, your interpretation is, oh my God, they're saying I'm fat. Oh my God, they think I'm fat. And now you're triggered. So again, the message here is when you get triggered, it is an opportunity for you to look at yourself. It's about you, not the speaker. And again, I think in our relationships, I think the speaker wants to take care and be responsible for what they say and how they say it. But once it's out of their mouth and lands on you, whatever happens for you is a function of you. And it's a beautiful opportunity to notice and learn and grow. We call it like there is actually an opportunity for you to uninstall your buttons, usually over time, such that the same person could say the same thing to you down the road and it stops triggering you, or it lessens the severity of the trigger. But more ideally, it's like stopping the trigger is wonderful. So you can begin to then notice the power of that. It's like I can move through the world and not be really concerned about people's negative assessments because they're not likely to trigger me if I don't believe it about myself already. I think it's really cool. It was an amazing exercise, and I hope this is landing on you in that way, and it inspires you or helps you realize, wow, I'm not at the mercy of other human beings, and I'm not at the mercy of my triggers or my buttons any longer. I have the ability to change them. So a real example, I think that's one example that I don't care for that I see happening in this world is what's going on social media, right? It's people post something on social media and then someone reacts to it with a negative assessment and it triggers the person that posted, and you watch this verbal battle go on in the comments section of their post. We go back and forth because one person got triggered and then they blame it on the other person. So they launch out and try to trigger the other person, which they're often able to do. And now we've got two people triggered trying to have a conversation and resolve things, and it's not going to happen. You just are not able to do that typically when you're in a triggered state. And so think about it. If you post something on social media, hopefully people have positive assessments to say, but if someone has a negative one and triggers you, like, why do you give that authority? Why do you give that power? You don't even typically know that person. You have no idea who they are, and yet you're giving them power. You're letting them trigger you, which again, the place to look to start to grow and learn from this is at yourself, not at them. So I think the beauty here is that it's an opportunity for growth and for you to reclaim your power by examining your beliefs about yourself and updating them so they're healthier and more positive, and you can be more effective, clear, and clean in your relationships. Essentially, you can uninstall your buttons. I'll move towards the end of the episode like I always do. Summary, what are the key points? We talked about the relationship dance, and in the relationship dance, both parties are co-responsible for a good or bad conversation. But again, when we're talking about triggering and who's responsible, it's the listener. Listening and hearing are not the same thing. Remember, hearing is biological, sound waves through the air. Listening is that plus active interpretation on top of that, how we make meaning. We also call those our filters sometimes. So listening is active interpretation, and how you listen is always a function of you, the observer that you are, the observer that's doing the listening. We also talked about others can't hurt your feelings really if you don't let them. And so if that belief is not sitting there, they're not going to push your button, trigger you, or hurt your feelings. And there are more nuances to this that we may need to explore later, but I just wanted you to look at the underlying phenomena and maybe hope to inspire you to see that some of your long-held buttons can actually be changed. And again, what's a button? It's really a privately held negative assessment we believe about ourselves or we suspect about ourselves. And if we believe it and hold it to be the truth, it even has more energy. It's often more powerful when we get triggered. And the only person who can uninstall your buttons is you. So what's the homework? So I would say this, take a look at your buttons, and one in particular may have already popped into your head as you listen to this episode. But if you have several, choose one and do an experiment to see if you can't start uninstalling that thing. So how do we do that? The first thing you want to do is identify the sentence. What is the negative assessment that you're holding? And you may be holding it like it's the truth or an assertion. And do some reflection on that. Do some examining on that. I find that oftentimes many of our buttons get installed from our family upbringing. Those first 18 years of life, and someone significant tells us something negative over and over again. And pretty soon it goes from an external comment to an internal button. It's now wired inside of us. So figure out, what is that assessment? That's my button. Okay, and examine, how strongly am I holding this? Do I believe it's the truth? So first step would be separate them now. You can see that. And then the second step would be, let's take a look at this assessment. Remember, assessments are never true or false, but maybe it's grounded, maybe it's ungrounded. What I often find with buttons or triggers is they're usually ungrounded, meaning there's really no facts to back them up, or it may have very little grounding. It was like one factual episode or two in your life, significant defining event, and you've hyper-focused on it and hold that assessment like it's truth. And you're missing actually a whole boatload of other grounding that would ground a better assessment, a more positive assessment. So examine it for grounding or ungrounding. And I would say this, just this high level, if it's ungrounded, you realize, wow, there's nothing to back that up. Change it right now. Use the power of language and start to talk to yourself in the opposite way. So if your negative assessment is I'm irresponsible, then start going, you know what? Sometimes I'm irresponsible, but for the most part, I'm responsible. Start to change that inner conversation you have with yourself. Or the thought you've had, I'm always lazy, is, you know what? I'm actually sometimes engaged and productive and not lazy. And so if it's ungrounded, just flip it right away. Use language to your power. If it does have some grounding, then maybe, and if it has a lot of grounding, then maybe what you'll need to do is actually acknowledge, okay, you know, I've got some grounding to that assessment, but I've also got some opposite grounding. I've done some positive stuff. And what you want to do is going forward in the future, identify the actions you can take to be successful and start to pile up some grounding for the opposite assessment. And so if let's say the assessment is irresponsible, you can see times where you assess you have been, then think about the actions that a responsible person would take, get committed to that, and start taking those actions as consistently as you can. So months later, you may now have a batch of evidence that shows you're actually a responsible person. So you're starting to tilt the balance of grounding more towards the positive than the negative. It's one of the things I had to do. I'll just share with you mine. My big assessment was there was something wrong with me. And I had a lot of evidence of almost completing things and then bailing out or not finishing. And I'm not using assertion language right now, but I would make commitments and I would reach close to the finish line. I wouldn't finish. So I had to start taking the actions and really work hard to push myself to finish and get things done. And all of a sudden, when I started having some successes, I had more grounding for the positive assessment. There's nothing wrong with me. I can actually be very successful. So I hope that makes sense to you. That's the end of our episode today. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. I hope you're intrigued with maybe beginning the process of uninstalling some buttons and living a healthier, more effective, and I would say even more peaceful life. As I often say, be well, go forward. Hope things go well for you in the next week or so. Take great care of yourself and please listen. Please offer me feedback, as you can always rate the podcast or you can offer me feedback through my email, marketcoachmark.com. Always would love to hear from you. All right, be well and take care. Bye. Well, my friends, that's a wrap for today. I'm so grateful you joined me and hope you feel energized by the insights we took a deeper look at together. If anything resonated with you or inspired new thinking, drop me a note. I'd love to hear your biggest takeaway. Please join me next time as we dive deeper into this never-ending journey of self-discovery. Until then, be well, be present, live fully and authentically. Wake up and pay attention.